Well, good afternoon to my family here. Those of you who are coming from all over the country and other parts of the world, I send greetings to you from your family members in Kalispell in Missoula, Montana. There are 14 of us in Kalispell, 4 more in Missoula. And so this is a wonderful sight to me to see this many people together in one room to worship God and to learn and to fellowship. I want to tell you a story today that I hope will change your life. It did change mine. In 1997, I gave a sermonette in Kelowna at the feast, and I spoke then about the subject of encouragement and how it will be used as one of the primary teaching methods in the millennium. I gave the example during that sermonette of teaching my son to hunt, and as he was young and growing up, he wanted to learn how to hunt with me, and so for several years I took him with me, and I took the lead, and I showed him various things that I had learned, and we learned together on some of the things. I showed him by example how to stalk in on various animals. And then, of course, as a young man grows up, there came that time when he was now old enough. He had enough experience and enough knowledge and enough encouragement along the way to know how to do it. And so that year, I let him take the lead. And Jesse went out that year and stalked in on a nice antelope buck. And as he did, I stood behind and I followed behind him. And he was able then to actually stalk in and get a very nice buck. And at the time that that happened, I learned for the first time, I believe, what that scripture meant in Isaiah, where it says that you will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk you in it. Because my son had just shown me, and I had learned with him that lesson, and I realized for the very first time how very positive that example is in the Bible, that we will be teachers, and we will have teachers, and there will be that encouraging word behind us. And that is not indicative, I believe, of a harshness of how people will be dealt with in the millennial reign of Christ. I had intended that sermonette to be very, very encouraging to all who heard it. But there were two young brothers there in the audience in their mid-20s. Their father had died when they were 4 and 6 years old. And when they heard that sermonette, it hit them differently than I had expected. And I was very surprised by that. I shouldn't have been looking back on it, but I learned a lesson which I hope to convey to you today, the impact that such a message had on those two fatherless brothers. I had known the family when the boys were quite young, and then we had moved away. Their father was then dead, and they were left without many of the experiences that an intact family could provide. And here they were meeting me a few years ago in their mid-20s, and they were explaining some of those things and explaining how difficult it had been for them to grow up in the church and yet not have a father there to teach them. And I learned then that there's an instruction given to us, and we all know it, about how to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, which says that you shall rejoice there in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, and your manservant and your maidservant, and the widow and the fatherless and the stranger among us. And I learned then that that's more than just an instruction of something nice to do once a year. But it's something that we need to do all year long, to develop a close family relationship with one another, and especially to pay attention to those who are disadvantaged among us. I also believe that that instruction in its placement in Deuteronomy, where it tells us to keep the feast in this way, I believe that instruction is prophetic as well, symbolic of the future reign of Jesus Christ. You know, we would all be fatherless without God our Father. And this world is fatherless. And it will become even more so. And there will be more widows when the millennial reign of Christ begins. As Mr. McCullough was explaining and others have, there will be millions of disadvantaged people, millions of displaced people, millions of fatherless, millions of widows. And when we are the teachers in the beginning of the millennium, we are going to be teaching people who are fatherless and widows. And you know, we have a tremendous opportunity. All of us, no matter our age, no matter our position in life of whatever sort, we all have a tremendous opportunity to help in this right now and prepare for that day when we will be teaching as we know we will be. The lessons I learned from that are lessons of the heart. And I want to speak to your heart today. I don't want to speak to your ears. And I will only be able to give you a brief introduction. And I hope that the Spirit of God moving in you through the rest of this feast and through the rest of your life will help this lesson to really be one that you live and that will change your life. We have long noted, as I said, that this is an instruction, but it is also symbolic. There will be so many people in this position. We read through many, many different accounts in the Bible of how they will be affected. There's one in Jeremiah, which I will turn to. And I had not meant to turn to more than one scripture, but decided that I will, because there are so many things that tie into this. And I believe that there will be sermon messages to follow, which will expound on this theme. Jeremiah 31, verse 8 and 9. Behold, I will bring them from the north country. This is speaking of a time when the remnant of Israel will be saved after Christ's return. And gather them from the ends of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and the woman who labors with child together. Speaking of some of those people who will be disadvantaged, hurt, wounded, lonely, scared, all of the things that we know about. A great throng shall return there. They shall come with weeping. And then it says, with supplications I will lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel. We look forward to that time when God will be a father to all of Israel and to all the world. And so we see glimpses of that prophetic meaning. And I think it's something that has been overlooked for many years in the feast observance, that this is something that is so very important to us and to all around us. When Christ began his earthly ministry long ago, he quoted a verse from Isaiah. And that verse typifies the character of the ministry of Jesus Christ, to the point that he himself quoted it as the type of ministry he would have. And we are called to participate, to help in that ministry, to set an example and to follow the lead of Jesus Christ. And we can follow that lead. We all have been empowered to do so because God has given us this calling and his Holy Spirit to back it up. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61 and read the character that typifies the ministry of Jesus Christ, both in the past when he came in his earthly ministry, now in our lives, and later in the millennium. Isaiah 61 in the first four verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And remember, these are words that Jesus himself said. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The fatherless among us are certainly brokenhearted. And there are motherless among us. And there are widows. And there are handicapped and deaf and blind and dumb. And there are people who are lonely and people who are brokenhearted. If I were to ask, how many of you are fatherless? In fact, let's just do that. No matter your age, if you're young or old, if you're fatherless, will you raise your hand? If you're motherless and your hand is not up, would you also raise it? There are many of us, and we are just a microcosm of this society, and when this is magnified through the things that happen between now and the return of Christ, we are going to have to deal with many, many people who have suffered such great things. And this is what Christ said. He did and will do in his ministry. Let me continue. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the openings of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. And I look back on those two fatherless brothers who I knew when they were young, and I knew them again when they're 20s, and I long to be able, wish I could somehow go back and take them hunting through the years and do things with them. And we cannot go back and undo what we didn't do before, but we can certainly do it now. And those of us who are fathers, those of us who are mothers, those of us who are strong, those of us who have God's Holy Spirit in us, we can look around and we can say, these others are my family, and they are just as important as all the rest of our flesh and blood family. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. That verse is where Mr. McCullough stopped yesterday. He started reading there and read a few more verses, but I wanted to show you verse 4 because it shows the millennial setting of what we are reading, which is a description of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Some of these things were fulfilled in his first earthly ministry, and the rest will be fulfilled later when he comes, and you and I will help him do that. And we have such an awesome opportunity today to participate, if you will, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, to minister to those who are disadvantaged in whatever way it is, because he is calling us to be his family, and we are individually important to him, everyone. Who knows among us which young person who today seems insignificant, even to us, might one day be a great teacher? I remember back in my childhood when I was a young brat making noise in church, ushers asking me to leave because we don't throw airplanes in the congregation, things like that. And God has given me the opportunity, as he will all of you and all of our young people, in various ways, the opportunity to learn and to teach. So this is a description of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is something we can apply all year long, not just once a year, not just at the Feast of Tabernacles. For the young people, the fatherless, the widows, the strangers, they need our help all year long. And it's not in a sense of pity. It's a sense of family. It's a sense of love and giving to one another in a very, very good way. Because we have a future to build, and we can build it together. We can adopt into our families one or more around us on a continual basis, not just once a year, but adopt one another as part of an interactive family. We can mentor on a long-term basis. We can encourage someone year by year as they grow and develop and learn. We can visit people, not just once, not just out of duty, but out of love, because they are family to us. And we can learn and teach and give. Now, this is a major theme of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and we are called to follow his footsteps, and one day to teach and lead others as he will in the kingdom of God.